Okie dokie, folks, and welcome back to the Backbreaker Media Network. I am Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. The Canadian Goose. You are listening to Monday Night Shaw right here on Backbreaker Media Network. And joining me on the show this week is someone who also used to have their own podcast right here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And I'm talking about former RCW Women's Champion, Envy. Kayla J.
Heck yeah.
How many other ring names have you gone under?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was KJ Cash just for the first little bit of my... when I started training with MPW there, and then changed that after, like, a little, I think. Once I got to RCW, I think, I quickly changed to Envy for a while there. But, I mean, everybody knows Envy and Kayla J are my favorite, so we'll leave it at that.
So, how did that work, though? Like, because you mentioned that you were KJ Cash in MPW. When you went to MPW, did they give you that name, or did you say, this is the name I want to go, and then just kind of changed your mind once you went to RCW? I know you, in RCW, it was kind of a gimmick change thing, but, like, was KJ Cash a name that was given to you, or is that something you came up with?
It was kind of both, if that makes any sense. Kind of when you start there, they usually ask you, like, do you have anything in mind? Or they come up with it kind of as you're training, and they say, hey, what do you think about this? You would be a good, like, this, you know? And I didn't really have a name, because I kind of was just focusing on... you know, not breaking myself in a sense at training. And I wasn't there very long until I was asked to, like, be on my first show and be Dean Richter's new manager.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so when I first got in there, I think it was like my first week, and Massive asked us to do promos. And I was like, oh, this is like my first promo, like, that I've ever had to do. Like, I'm excited. Okay. I was pumped to do it, because I was, like, waiting. This is my moment, right? 100%. I was like, hopefully if I do, like, a good promo, like, he'll kind of, like, be impressed, and maybe he'll, like, want to put me on a show. Not that I was, like, jumping, because I didn't think I would get onto one for, like, a few months, if I'm honest.
Okay.
And then he was impressed with me, and then next training he asked, like, oh, I would like you to, you know. Oh, no, sorry. I was with Eddie Rude first. I just thought about that now. Then I went with Dean Richter. I was with Eddie Rude first. For a few months there.
Okay.
So he needed someone to walk with him to the ring, and I said, you know what, I'll do it, but I needed a name. I didn't have a name. So Massive came up with some names, and one of which he would not let go was Vivicious. And Angelica and I were training together a lot at that time, and we were friends, like everybody knows, and we look at each other, and we both had the same look on our face. We're like, that is not you at all. And so I told, he's like, so you don't like it? I said, you know, I don't think I can make it work. Like, I just don't feel it. I was like, I don't feel like I'm vicious. I don't like the name, really. And he's like, okay, come up with a better one. And if you can come up with a better one, that's your name. So I legit just, like, wanted something to flow okay. And KJ Cash just came, and he kind of likes the gimmicky names. So it worked, and it stuck for a year and a bit. And then Envy kind of, like, took over, and KJ Cash is dead, apparently.
Vivicious, hey? That's
Oh, as soon as he said it, I was like, I don't feel it at all.
No, it's giving me, like, stripper vibes, you know?
It just was not me. And I think everybody kind of knew it except for him. I think he just had it stuck in his head, and I think he just liked the name, because I think he offered it to a few girls after me. So he just must have liked the name.
Oh, okay.
And just wanted somebody eventually to take it, and I actually think someone did.
Oh, well, I feel bad now for...
Yes. I think, honestly, somebody did take it eventually, like I said. I'm not sure. I think it was right before COVID. Maybe it was very similar to Vivicious, but it was there. And they probably make it work, but it just wasn't for me.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. So yep. When did you turn into Envy while you were still in MPW? Or was that a like a because you were heavily involved with the CWC stuff, right, in Red Deer as well, right? Can you just give us a little bit of a rundown here in case people don't know what I'm talking about? Like,
So when I was starting to slowly start actually having matches in MPW, like really recent, I'm talking like first five matches, they needed someone to have a match with Angelica, I think, down in CWC, because she was working there like every time they had a show, and she started to run out of girls to work with, and her and I like really liked training together and stuff, so she kind of threw my name into the hat with the boys that like ran it down in Red Deer. And so KJ Cash started doing just a few matches here and there, and as I was still doing matches as KJ Cash, I started to also be Envy on the same show.
Okay. So you would come out and do your matches KJ Cash, and then later on would like, were you wearing like a mask or disguising your face, or you were showing up with like dark makeup on or something?
You know, oh God, it feels like it was so long ago now. I guess it was a long time ago, but because I worked a few shows just as KJ Cash, and then I was friends with Jack Pride for a while, and then he kept talking to me about this gimmick, and then finally he's like, okay, hear me out. This is my idea. And it took me like a while to warm up to it, because I didn't really like understand it for a while, but I was like, okay, this is different, and I just want to like be on shows. And I loved working with him because I love training with him.
Yeah. So can you give us a little bit of an idea of what the gimmick was, just in case people aren't familiar? Like, because like you, KJ Cash, kind of like I don't know because I don't think I ever saw any of your matches, but like what comes to mind is, okay, your gimmick was you're KJ Cash, you're like a good wrestler, right?
Yeah, she was kind of like, I would call her very opportunistic. She also did, I only worked a few shows with Eddie Rude. Right after that, I don't know, maybe two shows later, I started working with Dean Richter. And I started kind of like doing promos with him and just talking, and then being very opportunistic, like when he needed it in matches. And that's when people started to like notice me, like, oh, she's not just like going to stand there. Like, she's physically getting in matches. Like, I took a chair shot from, was it Irish? I think it was Irish at one point, or some big guy in MPW at the time. I can't even remember who. But we were involved with Irish all the time down there, and Crazy Core before he retired. Opportunistic.
Opportunistic, but like you weren't like a gimmick though. Like, it wasn't like you were like a librarian who also happened to be a wrestler or anything like that. But like when you became Envy is almost kind of like sort of like a witch or some sort of like.
She was very dark. So the concept was kind of like the seven deadly sins, right? So she was very dark. She didn't talk. Like, ever. She just kind of was lurking in the shadows, also waiting to be opportunistic, waiting for her moment, kind of like slinking around the ring, wanting to cause people pain in a sense and win some gold. So, and she did. She won me my first title. But yeah, when she first came around, I did wear like a bandana, like covering my face, and I did have some black makeup on for a while. And I wore the mask for like a long time, and it was hard to wrestle in, but it also kept me separate from KJ Cash until KJ Cash finally, was gone. I just was like, okay, enough of that. Focus on Envy, and there you go.
So you just kind of faded the KJ Cash thing off the like horizon or whatever. But like, were people aware though? Like, were they, like when you were coming out later on as Envy, were people like, hey, KJ Cash, like, what are you doing out here? And like, was that a thing that was happening?
I honestly do not think people knew it was me.
Oh, that's good.
I honestly, nobody ever said anything. Like, nobody ever like yelled at me being like, KJ, like, what are you doing out here? I think honestly, the only people that would have known are like the people that know me outside of wrestling.
Okay.
If I didn't tell them, they would be like, is that Kayla? Like, is that her? Because I don't think there's anything overly distinctive about me. Like, I have tattoos, but they're covered. Okay. So you can't see them. So if that was an obvious giveaway, people might be able to put two and two together. But I think also because our ring gears, like KJ Cash's ring gear was different than Envy. Very different. Like Envy was basically like a ninja type getup covered up. Right. And then KJ Cash was similar to what I wear now, but a little different. But it's, nobody ever commented until later on. And then people were like, people just always called me Envy after that. Nobody ever called me KJ Cash again. Only some of the wrestlers when they wanted to like chirp me a little.
Well, I think, I mean, I don't know, like when I met you, you were coming into RCW and you were Envy in yeah. RCW. So that's why
yeah.
I would have called you Envy, right? Like,
oh yeah. Cause yeah. I think KJ Cash was gone for probably 8 or 9 months at that point. And I think she was gone around Christmas before. And then I started with RCW, I think, probably in the summertime at some point after that. So,
and then once you,
she was gone for a bit.
Yeah. Once you left from RCW and went to Force Wrestling and back mm-hmm. to PWA, you went back to, you went under Kayla J, right?
I did. Yes.
So what inspired, why didn't you go back to KJ Cash or was like, what inspired the new moniker?
I think even with KJ Cash, it was kind of, it still really wasn't my choice. Like if I could have chosen my name the first time, it still probably would have been Kayla J, but he wanted like a gimmicky name and he's like, no, that's not going to do or whatever. And so when it was finally like my full choice and Envy was gone, like we were moving on from all that, I was like, you know what? My next name I'm choosing is the one that I'm going to stick with for probably till I retire. Unless something changes again, but this, I was like, okay, this is going to be my name for a long time. So I want to pick the name that I like and that I can work off of instead of something that's, you know, super, super gimmicky in the sense, like Envy, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 100%.
And I loved being Envy. Don't get me wrong. Like I won titles with her and it was so much fun and I loved working with Pride, but when it was time to like change that, I said, okay, Kayla J is what I want, and then you can work off from that and be the golden child or whatever you want to be. So
yeah, 100%. So well, let's just take it back to the start. So you got your start at MPW, I'm assuming, training with the likes of Jack Pride and Angelica, and mm-hmm. who are some of the other notable folks that would have been in your class for MPW? Which is that MPW yeah. is Monster Pro Wrestling, in case anyone's unaware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Monster Pro that I walked into is 110% different than what it is today. Like the roster, yeah. I don't even think there's one person that's still there that, well, I guess Parrish is back there. But, well, Massive, yeah. Parrish is there again, but he left after a little while. But, yeah, when I... Literally my first day I walked in and I honestly didn't know anybody in wrestling. So it was completely fresh. Like I had no friends. I didn't know anyone. I had no connections. So when I was walking in, it was literally off of an email with Massive. I didn't even really like, I knew what he looked like, but I didn't even really know about independent wrestling at the time. I knew just a smidge, like a small, small amount. I just wanted to like learn how to wrestle.
Oh, okay.
So I think when I walked in there, the first person I actually met was Angelica. She was the first person that like walked over and introduced herself to me. And the first thing I thought of was like, oh, she's blonde and she's very pretty. And she could probably bench press me.
What was there other girls there? I would assume that Sexy Sam was there.
She wasn't there the day I went. But Phoenix was still there, and it was okay. Before she actually even was having matches, because she started having matches a year after I came in, because it took her a while, because she was still pretty young. Like, I don't even think she was, I don't even know how old she was, but she was younger, and I think she was working on her confidence, and now she's, like, a completely different person. Like, she's confident, and it took her time to get there, but now she's like bouncing all over the ring, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was one of like my closest friends as well there. Like her, she was there at training all the time, and she would train with me and she would work with me and she would help me with my bumping and stuff, because it took me a while to like perfect it. Took me a while. I was good the first week, and then for some reason after the first week I got scared and I started to like doubt my falling and stuff. And
did you take like
you need to get over that
or something? Like,
I don't know what it was. Maybe it's because he made me bump so much my first like few training sessions that I think I got so sore after that when I went back the next week refreshed, I don't know why, but in my psyche I kept like not, you know how they always say like kick both your feet up?
Yeah.
I kept like dragging one of my feet, like I physically could not like bring it up.
Oh, see,
and it took me another probably two training sessions to like get over it again, and then I've been fine ever since. But I was getting so mad with myself because I just couldn't do it like for that two training sessions, and it was rough.
I have a bad habit. It's kind of the opposite thing though, where like we'll do like tackles and stuff and I will like jump in the air and take them.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're like, no, just step and snap back. And like I've straight up, like, people have like clotheslined me and I kick them in the face.
Oh, because your feet kick so
yeah, like, and it's like, oh, I just need to calm down on that, you know.
It's like there's jumping into it, but then there's your version of jumping into it.
yeah. But like, I know what you're talking about, because like, I mean, I was early on when I was first training. I think somebody gave me a clothesline once, and I took a bump, and like they stepped on my arm.
Oh, yikes. So, yeah, that'll scar you a little.
I was like taking a clothesline like after that for a long time was like a thing that freaked me out, because I was like, I don't want somebody to step on my arm, you know?
100%. It's crazy how something like that early on could like it could scar you a little. I had the same thing happen in my first probably 2 months or 3 months of training, and we were learning strikes in the corner. Okay. And there was a girl, she doesn't wrestle now, but she actually hit me so hard that my jaw, I couldn't actually, like, my jaw was locked for, like,
a
week.
She hit you in the face?
Yeah, she hit me so hard that, like, I couldn't eat, like, solid food. And,
I was
scarred after that.
Right? Like...
It was for sure. Yeah, it was for sure. She just caught me, and I was like, oh, I was like, that hurt. And then the next day I woke up, and I could barely open my mouth, and it hurt to eat. Like it actually really hurt. And like, I was pretty nervous for like uppercuts and elbows in the corner for a while there.
Yeah.
I was like, I like to eat and now I can't. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. For sure. So did you, how long were you in training before you actually wrestled in your first match?
Honestly, not very long. I think it was about maybe 6 months.
6 months? Oh.
Yeah, wow. I think it was about 5 or 6 months. Let me just think here. Yeah, because my first match ever was actually on Canada Day. So
was,
yeah, it was about
was it, one of those outdoor,
it was about 6 months,
like, outdoor
or less than 5 months.
Shows or something.
It was. It was, no, it was, okay, so it was at the Alberta Ave Hall.
Oh. Okay.
So it's the same place MPW still runs, but it was outside. It was in their little outside
like
gated area they have. Yeah, it looked like it could have been an old, like, ice rink.
Okay.
But it's not anymore, if that makes any sense. If you kind of ever look past the fence, if you go to their venue there. But yeah, we had an outdoor show there for Canada Day, and it was like an official MPW show. And yeah, it was on Canada Day, and it was very hot out.
Did you wrestle Angelica?
I actually wrestled in a four-way with Sam, Angelica, and then, oh my God, why am I drawing a blank?
Would it be Phoenix?
It was not Phoenix, because she didn't have her first match yet for a little while. I think her first match was the following January, so a year after I started.
What about Ferris?
Yes, it was Ferris.
Ferris's wrestling name is Psycho Sawyer, right?
Yes, it was Psycho Sora. I couldn't remember if she changed it or not, but yes, it was Soyre. Yes, because she had the big mohawk at the time there. I'm pretty sure.
Awesome. And how did the match go?
It was actually not bad. I don't really remember much of it because it went by so fast. But it was fun. I mean, besides from the mat being so damn hot because it was very hot that day, it was fun. It was a good 10 minutes of fun and fast pace. And all I kept thinking was, don't mess up. Don't mess up because your family's here. So just don't forget anything. You'll be okay. Like,
So
yeah.
there was a lot of nerves involved, eh?
Yep, there was a lot of nerves involved, but I think I was kind of like ready and I think more relieved than anything. I think a lot of people when they have their first ever match, the feeling they have when they finish is complete relief, like I'm alive. I didn't mess up and I'm here. And I remember just bawling after and poor Lumberjack Larry and Chris Parrish, I was just bawling and they thought I really hurt myself and I was like, I didn't hurt myself. I'm just crying, so just let me cry. Of
Just,
happiness, of course,
yeah, I just gotta
and
get those
relief.
emotions out, eh? Because,
Yeah,
yeah, no,
because I think I waited for that match for just so long, even not just those 6 months, but like for a few years where I thought about wrestling and then it finally happened. So I think it was just pure relief and happiness, of course. Like, can't believe you did that, right?
yeah. I mean, it is one of those things where, like, at least for me, it was for a long time something I never thought I would ever be able to do. And then
Exactly,
at
right? You don't
some
even know
point,
what you're capable of.
yeah, somebody was just like, oh, like they just broke it down, right? And I saw the breakdown and was like, oh, if I think about it in those terms, it doesn't seem like such a far-fetched, you know. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that like I'm great or anything, but like I think that you know, it's just it didn't seem impossible to me, you know?
Exactly.
And I've had a bunch of matches now, so obviously it's not impossible.
It's not. It
No.
really isn't. It's kind of just I guess do it, right?
Yeah, so did your partnership with MPW, is that what led to your getting onto the shows at CWC?
No.
Oh,
Not at
okay.
all. I guess in a sense, yes, because that's where I met like Pride and Angelica and stuff was through MPW and they were doing CWC all the time and that was like, I guess their kind of creative output where they could have a say. And CWC was amazing for that. Like everybody could always like put their input in and you felt like you were heard and you were what you were saying was valid. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you can tell people who run the shows like what you kind of want to do and you feel like you're like talking through them, if that makes any sense. You feel like they're not really listening or hearing you. They're
Yeah.
kind of just like letting you talk and they don't really care. And then they tell you what they want you to do anyway. So like, what was the point of you even saying anything? But CWC was always great with hearing people and giving their input back and saying like, okay, we could do this, but we could also do this as well, right?
Yeah.
And that's what, something I really loved about working in CWC. And their venue's incredible, right? Like you can't even go wrong with Festival Hall.
No,
So,
I wrestled
yeah.
there last week. It was fun.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
Yeah, it's a great little hall and stuff. Yeah,
And
it
you
was a
hear everything. Like the crowd's great there, and it doesn't feel dark and dingy, which is a lot of places feel like that. So.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean they have like a nice space for the locker room and stuff. I mean it's not the most spacious locker room, but it's far from the least spacious. Did you come do that show in like Bicester where we were in the basement and it was like they
Oh,
crammed
gosh.
like 15 people into like what was essentially like a laundry room?
I did. Oh, God. What was the one where we were in a shed?
Oh,
That was an RCW one, and it was literally a shed.
Did you wrestle on the, did you come to the show in Oyen that was the, we set the ring up on in a dirt floor inside like an industrial barn?
Okay, I was not in that one. That
No.
would be, oh gosh, I could only imagine.
It was fun. Like I I was ring announcing at that time, but I had a good old time. The whole show was like a bunch of little kids in crowds, and they had actual, like, they had like these baseball, you know, bleachers. So they,
oh,
like, they tractored them around so that they were all surrounding the ring. And then the floor was made of dirt, and Heavy Metal and Epic Eddie Rude had a last man standing match, and they used one of the tractors that was in this barn during the match and stuff.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows. And then I like, cause I have this great photograph of a bunch of us too. It's like Metal and me, Small Slammers in it. I think Cam Stevens, Sweet Isles. Just a fond memory I have of this small little show we did basically in an actual barn.
Oh yeah, you know, some of those shows, those ones are the best ones.
Yeah, just like,
right, like the ones where it's town. Just some small town. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I did a lot of those, like, just to start, because, like, I didn't even wrestle in Calgary or Edmonton until, like, a year after I started wrestling. So I wrestled in Bonnyville.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Like, three or four times. It's
Was that one was pretty recent, hey? That was before COVID.
Bonnyville?
Wasn't that one?
Well, like, I don't know when the last time they were there was, but the first time I ever wrestled was in Bonnyville, and it was the October of 2018. So,
oh damn, yeah,
that was the LLPW, the Lakeland.
You know what? That might be the shed I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Oh, that might
is that side shed where Metal sat on that top little piece or whatever.
Yes,
it was so tiny in
there.
In
the back, they have like. Yeah, they have like these levels to it, and behind the entranceway is basically, yeah, we're all in the back of this like shed thing. It was
yep, and like it's not part of the building, but it's like attached, but it's still a shed.
Yeah,
it's cold in there.
Can you talk about, like, just give us a little bit of a rundown on some of the other like fantastic little venues you
mm-hmm.
you have fond memories of wrestling in.
Some of the most messed up ones were the crazy stories. And I look back on it now, I'm like, that was crazy. But at the time I was annoyed or whatever. And one time, Pride and I, the first time we ever wrestled in Winnipeg.
Okay.
It's at this bar they have down there, and the venue's like, it's a typical bar, right? And you kind of just walk out, and it just, it was an interesting experience. They hated us, obviously, because we're not from Winnipeg. So they hated us, and we were the bad guys walking in. And the ring was a mess, though.
Oh.
I don't know what happened during their setup, but I don't think their ring is usually like that. I think something happened right before the show, but like the bottom rope just sagged the whole time. It's like it wouldn't tighten up.
Oh, no.
So when I was about to get in the ring, I'm like, how am I supposed to just like... what am I doing here? Like, okay, I'm going to trip maybe. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And then also the ring was uneven.
Whoa.
So I don't know what they had. Yeah, I don't know what they had underneath the ring. I don't know if it was like some sort of matting or just like a foam thing. But it was uneven. And I just remember like walking and I was like, I'm going to twist an ankle in Winnipeg. And Pride's gonna have to take me to the ER or something.
Was it a CWE because, show?
Oh, it wasn't. It was who were we with at the time?
Is it PCW or
yeah, it was, yes, it was PCW.
Oh, okay.
And it was great. Like the whole crew was amazing. But the only thing I remember is like, okay, so Pride had his match before me. So we went out, and I was like, okay, good. I can get some of the jitters out and feel it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he did all right. He wrestled kind of a newer guy, so he had some fun. But he was like, oh, that match is brutal. Like, just be careful. Maybe lift your feet up a little bit more when you run, right? And so it was time for my match. And I tripped a few times, stumbled maybe. I've never watched that match back. I probably never will.
Do you know who you wrestled?
I did. I wrestled Ella Blake.
Okay.
Yeah, she had a few matches in RCW out there.
Yeah,
I don't know if she's wrestling anymore.
Was that the girl that got married to Leo London?
I know they were engaged. I don't know if they got married, but yeah, they got engaged a while back. Yeah. But yeah, it was an interesting match, that's for sure. We had fun, but I will remember the ring and how
Yeah,
concerned I was for
it
injury.
sounds dubious.
Yeah.
Is it was there any talk of like maybe we should try and figure a way where we don't have to take any bumps on this like dubious ring? Like,
See, I think like the actual, I feel like we did kind of work around it. I don't think I took many bumps. I think I maybe took five. One of which was a clothesline that did not go well, and I actually thought like, oh, this is it. This is my injury moment.
oh no.
She just didn't jump far enough. And I was pretty close, like a respectable distance, but I think she just didn't have the hops maybe to get far enough, and I was like, oh, okay, I
Oh,
gotta
she
kind of
might
cone
have,
and walk a little
sounds like
closer,
she
right?
might have tripped in the ring or something, you know?
Oh,
Like,
she might have, yeah, because it's the ropes were questionable, and I think she was on the second rope, so she wasn't even on the top, but I was like, oh, okay, if I don't even take one step closer, I think she's gonna take my knees out. And she almost did. She like landed
Oh.
on my thighs, and I kind of like sat into it, if that makes any sense. But I was like,
Okay.
oh,
So it
God,
kind
not
of
good, not
probably
good.
ended up looking like sort of a janky looking spear or something.
They're like, this girl was sitting through this cross body or something. But in the end, it worked out okay. And I won the match. So, I think I put the RCW women's title up for grabs, and I retained it. So that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, so how did you end up in RCW? 'Cause like we talked about you working for MPW and then sort of going over to CWC, but how did you end up in RCW?
It was kind of the same people that I became close friends with in MPW. I mean, because right before I came to RCW, I was wrestling a little bit for PWA. And I think PWA was the right place, but at the wrong time, if
Okay.
that makes any sense. I think I might not have, I think I was ready, but I also don't think like I was having fun at the time. And then I was kind of telling like Pride about it, and I was like, I don't know, and I kind of got a concussion like my first show, and I was kind of like, I
Oh
don't know if I'm
no.
enjoying being here, like maybe I kind of regret moving from MPW, but I don't really want to go back to MPW. And so I was telling him about it, and then Angelica was kind of talking to me about it, and she was like concerned for me because I like got a concussion, whatever, and
Yeah.
she was like, well, you have options, like, and whatever. And then Pride was telling me, he's like, just come to the RCW show, like whatever, this one weekend, and then like you can meet some of the boys and just like see how you feel, and then we can talk to Squig. And like, and if you don't like it, then like we can figure something else out. And so I think I came to that show, and it was actually Pride's RCW debut. So we came and we watched, and then he introduced me to some of the boys after. Like I remember seeing or meeting like Jesse Youngblood. Blood. He was one of the first guys to come over and be like, hey, what's up, and I think even Sweet Daddy Soul was there, and Cam Stevens, and so I met some of them, and like Angelica was starting to wrestle there a little bit, so I was kind of like, okay, like Angelica's my best, like one of my best friends in wrestling. I was like, I could wrestle her forever. And so then I decided, okay, I was like, I think RCW I is the next like right place for me. And it was for about 2 years. I think I was there 2 years. So it was a great place. I wrestled a lot, and I wrestled great people
Yeah,
and met great people.
you
So
did. You had some cool opportunities. Can you talk about any of the girls that Squig brought in who he put you in the ring with?
oh yeah, one of the first ones, well, I guess like first Angelica, because I loved wrestling her, and we never honestly got the opportunity to go out and have the matches we wanted in MPW. Like he did not like, I feel like they just didn't want us to wrestle. Like we wanted to wrestle in MPW so bad, but we just never got the opportunity to. And so Angelica went to RCW because she wanted to have more matches, and she got them, and then so we got to have some great matches. Like, we wanted to have a last woman standing match, like a no DQ match. Like, we got to have all those great matches. And then Nicole Matthews, like, he brought Nicole Matthews up, and meeting her is great. And I've met her so many times now, and she's an amazing human. And then, oh, so many people. Like, he started bringing Zoe in to, like, side shows. So I finally could wrestle Zoe, because I'm begging for that. I'm like, please bring Zoe in. Because her and I were, like, friends outside, but we were working for, like, different places. And we're just like, we want to wrestle each other. But, like, she didn't want to leave PWA, and I was happy in RCW. So I was like, listen, like, RCW's doing all these side shows. Like, come to, I don't know, Bonneville or wherever we are, right? Like, let's wrestle. Mm-hmm. And we had some fun times out there. And oh gosh, who were some of the other fun ones? Like Jasmine from Australia, like a bunch of the Australians that were here a few years ago for Storm Wrestling, like they were amazing. I still talk to her, like, even though we only wrestled like 3 or 4 times, like I still talk to her, right? Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
Some of the people you meet, right?
It's cool. Like, even like there's like people I'm friends with that like Dan O'Burns is a friend of mine. I haven't spoken with him in a while, but if I, you know, if after I was done this call, called him up, he'd be like, hey, what's up? How's it going? You know?
Exactly.
And he's like living in Ireland. It's, you know, and then there's those, like you were saying, you know, people in Australia, and you just make friends with all these people from all over the world. It's pretty cool.
Well, and now that I'm thinking about it too, one of the greatest people I've met in wrestling is Jade and Slave from Thrash.
Oh, okay.
Two of the greatest people like you'll ever meet. And they brought me out there for Thrash, and like we've wrestled a bunch, and she's come out to Edmonton for me to wrestle me. And like, she's a great human, like a great, like those two, they're amazing. Like all the Thrash people out there, they're incredible. Like just great people. Right.
Yeah.
So those are other people. I can't forget to mention her.
Yeah, I like those guys for sure. I think they're coming back soon too. That's another thing I guess we could talk about. I mean, because like after you were in RCW, then you went over to Force and stuff. But like, you mentioned earlier, you'd done some wrestling in Winnipeg. Where other places besides Albert? Geez, I'm stuttered, like I'm motor mouth tonight. But other than Alberta, what other places in the world have you had the opportunity to wrestle in? Is there any places you haven't got to yet that you're hoping to eventually?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've done like all over like Western Canada here, like as far as Winnipeg, I guess. Like, I don't know if they consider Winnipeg, I guess that's more central, but yeah, everywhere outside here in Western Canada.
Did you do Vancouver?
I haven't yet, but I guess I really haven't, because I've wrestled Nicole everywhere else. So she would be the only one I'd want to go out there for anyways. So
oh, okay.
Well, we've wrestled in other places, but Vancouver would be great just to say I've wrestled there. But she was the only reason I would have gone, is just to wrestle her.
That's fair. I think that, what about like Vancouver Island, Rhea Von Slasher, she's on there too.
Oh yeah. She would be great.
Yeah.
Like, and I guess Angelica lives out there now too. I don't know if she's going to go back to wrestling now that her acting school is done, but I mean, I would go for her too,
did
of
she
course.
Did she finish acting school?
She did. Yeah. She graduated, and she seems like she's just loving her life out there. She's like living her best life, thriving.
Solid. Hopefully she's going to like book some big parts or something.
I mean, that's the place to be. I mean, look at all the production companies that are out there, and she could get anything. Who knows, right?
Yeah, Vancouver's always been a hub for, like, entertainment as far as, like, movies and televisions go. There's always been a wrestling scene there as well, but it's another one of those, like, Canadian wrestling scenes where we're all so isolated, you know?
Yeah. I mean, kind of out there, I guess, they can kind of go anywhere, but then it's pretty far for them to come out anywhere out east here, like more out east, I guess. But I mean, Vancouver's thriving on its own, I guess, now that they're a little opened up again. So
yeah, like Vancouver to Calgary is like a 13-14 hour drive. It's
yeah,
that's why like you don't see a lot of like Vancouver wrestlers coming here. It's just because it's not super feasible like gas wise and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
it can be. You know, definitely if you're going to bring in someone like Nicole Matthews, who at that time had just been on like WWE, Mae Young Classic and stuff, like there, that just, that that's definitely going to cover the cost and whatnot, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Well, I mean, even like I talk to Chris Boros all the time, and they're always traveling around whenever they can. Like they just don't even care. They're like, oh, we're just going to get in our little car and just drive all over the country if we have to.
Yeah.
So
I really,
that's
like
just their
guys.
Style, right?
I wanted
great
to
humans.
Wrestle them. One time I was very close to being in a match with them, and then it got changed.
Oh no.
Yeah, you know how it is in RCW. You show.
Oh yeah,
show
it changes 5 minutes above.
Well, it's not so much it changes 5 minutes above. It's like you'll show up at the show thinking you're doing one thing, then it'll be changed, and then half hour later it'll be changed again. Then you're back to doing the original thing you were doing, and then it'll get changed a third time, and you'll be involved with somebody completely different than. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. But I love it, and I'm grateful to be allowed to partake. So, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm just
sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of concrete planning.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we should talk too, because like I mentioned off the hop here, that you did have your own podcast on Backbreaker Media Network. And you also had you were doing articles and stuff. Can you just talk about like the reasons behind why you would put yourself out there in those mediums? And was that in an effort to help your wrestling career?
Honestly, no. I think at the time, like I really just like really just wanted to talk about. Well, the podcast, first of all. Okay, so the podcast, I just really wanted to talk about what was happening in women's wrestling at the time, because during that, I don't even know, 6 month span or whatever, tons of things were happening. Like Ronda Rousey, I believe, was just coming in or about to come in. And no, she was there already. Sorry, pardon me. And they had like the Mae Young Classic going on. So a bunch of different things with the women. And we were all kind of like talking about it, and I was like, oh, like it would be fun to do like a podcast where we talk about just what's going on with the women.
Okay.
Because I don't think I've really ever seen a podcast that does that. I think there's a few now, but at the time I don't think there was any. And I kind of just wanted to talk about wrestling, and I would always like go over to Spencer Love's place or even like Malawani's and like watch wrestling and then just talk, you know.
Yeah.
And then finally we were kind of just, you know, talking about it, and I said, or they said, suggested it, like, oh, you could just do like a podcast where you just talk about like wrestling, like women's wrestling. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, like, but it ended up just being too hard to keep up with with my like own life and with school. And I think even then, one of the biggest reasons was that I started to not like the product I saw on TV.
Yeah.
So I just was like, I don't want to watch this and have to talk about it because I don't even want to watch it. So
yeah.
I said no more. And it was probably a good choice because I started to really just dislike having to watch it. It wasn't fun. So,
I mean, I've done some of the react shows for Love Wrestling, and normally it's not so bad, but when I've done like Monday Night Raw, it can be a real slog, especially like during those Thunderdome shows where it was like clearly just piped in noise or whatever. Like,
oh, sometimes it was hard.
Doing it for me at all.
No. Well, and I'll be honest, I don't even know the last time I watched like Raw. Through the pandemic, I only watched certain parts of SmackDown.
Yeah.
I loved watching the Roman Reigns things. When he came back, of course.
He's been so good lately.
Oh, yeah. Like, when he started to come in, and then he had his cousins working with him, and I was like, oh, this is so funny. Like, it's so interesting just to, like, see him in this different role. So that was my first thing I loved. But the thing that really reeled me in was what Sasha and Bayley were doing. They are really what kept me hooked on SmackDown, because I just thought they were so funny.
I mean,
and just what they were doing.
Amazing.
Oh, they're incredible. And I think finally the fact that like the pandemic, and I think when they kind of were given that proverbial ball to run with, not a lot of the women were around. So they were kind of one of the only few that were still kind of like, okay, like let's do this Thunderdome thing. And man, they were hilarious. When they got those titles and they were just like ripping on everybody and ripping on Michael Cole. And then, oh God, it was great. And then when she finally turned on Sasha, I was like, okay, like, here we go. Like, this will keep me interested for another, like, few pay-per-views. And then, yeah, I kind of stopped after Mania there for a little bit. But then see, I might start watching again now that Sasha's back. But yeah, we'll see.
Sasha versus Bianca at WrestleMania was
absolutely incredible.
Oh, I had to watch it just for the pure fact that, like, I was just like, oh, God, I can't believe it, right?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, like, it was the first ever, like, one-on-one main event of WrestleMania between two girls. And, like, it was, like, also, like, two black girls, right? Like,
oh, yeah, who would have thought that, right? You look at what, even when Naomi was brought in, like, at the very beginning there, in what, 2010 or 2011 she was brought in? Who would have thought?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, that's crazy to think. And then now here they were.
And
they're just two incredible wrestlers and athletes, I guess.
There was no issue with that being the main event of WrestleMania whatsoever. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a main event worthy match. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, probably the only complaint I had was like, why were they going for tag titles and stuff right now? I'm like, oh, that's so typical. But I mean, besides that, it was great. The rest of it was fabulous. So
yeah, so eventually you did move over to Force Wrestling. Can you just talk a little bit about like what led to your choice to do that?
Probably the
don't want to get too salacious if it's like that, but you know what I mean.
Oh no, yeah. Honestly, the biggest reason was all my favorite people were there. that's really it. I mean, it was also kind of probably down to the fact that at the time I don't think there was a ton of girls in RCW. Like, a few of them were kind of like trickling in and out, but like Force and PWA had a few girls there, and then they were like wanting to, the plan Force had is really what kind of reeled me in. But to be honest, I didn't even really know the plan until I told, you know, Tex Gaines that I was like, oh, you know, like, sure, I'll come over here and just have some matches. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Mm-hmm. And then after that is when I was told the plans of what they were going to do for the next like five shows or whatever, there five or six shows. And to be honest, like I said, Zoe's like was one of my like closest people that I would just talk to all the time, and we would meet up all the time for coffee and just be like, we want to wrestle each other. Like, we want to work together. We want to do this. And then she told me about Force, and then I was like, I don't know. And then, cause I like just freshly like won that title again in RCW, and I was like, I don't know. And then, some stuff happened or whatever. And I said, you know what? I'm like, I'm going to go to Force. So I told Angelica, I'm like, here's what's happening. Like, I'm sorry. And she completely understood. Like, she honestly like was like, go, like, go do it.
Yeah.
Like, I might be following you, but I think she ended up just doing her acting school after that. I don't think she wrestled much after, but when I went, I was like, this is just going to give me a lot of opportunities to wrestle people I haven't. And I did. I mean, it was a blast. Like, that was like the best like 6 month period of probably like my wrestling career at that point.
Solid. And like, because when you went back to Force, was that when they had their arrangement with PWA, so you kind of got in back with PWA as well, or were you exclusively with Force?
I guess I was a Force girl. I wasn't really with PWA as much as I was kind of like, yeah, I would do both. Like, heck yeah, like, who would say no? Like, that's just more shows you can do and more matches. But I was exclusively with Force. I'm not going to like say any plans, because who knows, they could do those still now that COVID's opening up. But they had so many plans and different things, and then COVID hit like after Christmas time there. So it would have been amazing, but the like five matches or whatever I had while I was there, five or six matches, like, it was incredible. Like, it was so much fun. Like, who can go wrong? And I was main eventing, and I was having these great matches with like Zoe and MRB and Michael Allen, Richard Clark, which was like a total surprise. Like, I didn't even know like that was a thing. And then all of a sudden my face was next to his on a poster, and I'm like, oh my God, like, didn't know this was happening. So yeah.
Yeah. And You also were a part of the Clandestine Society show. I know, because like I went to watch a couple of those Force events, and then I was on the Clandestine show, and we were in the same match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a blast that was.
Was that just one of those things where you were kind of around, so they asked you to be involved in it too, or what happened there with the Clandestine?
We were kind of just... I guess training maybe, or doing some shows, and then nobody ever really like said like, do you want to be part of it or whatever, but I just kind of said like, I knew what MRB's vision and stuff like that was.
Gotcha.
And then I said, I was like, you know what, I said, I'll be in town that weekend, so if you need like anything, like, do you need, like, if you need a hand, I don't even know. Yeah. Ring announcing. Well, I'm not a good ring announcer. Who knows? Never done it, but could be. But anything, like, just let me know. And then, like, I'll make sure I'm actually going to, like, be there and show up. And so then he was like, well, you're going to, like, be in the clusterfuck, I guess, because, like, Zoe's having this one-on-one match. So, like, here you go. And I'm like, I was like, I don't know, because I gotten injured before in, like, battle royals and stuff. So I was kind of like, oh, like, I don't know. That's where I got in. Like, I've had two concussions from wrestling, and one of which was from like a basic free for all.
Really?
So I was like, so that's why I'm very nervous to do those, right? Whenever they kind of say, oh, battle royal, I'm like, I don't know. Like, one day I'll probably get over it. But
I don't know why, but like, to me, battle royal seems like, I mean, I'm not trying
insane, right?
I'm not trying to kill the magic of the business, but basically, like, anytime I've been in battle, you just go out there and punch and kick people. Like,
yep.
We don't do
until
a whole
it's your
lot
time.
Of, we don't do yeah. a whole lot of like actual like wrestling moves in a battle royal, just because, like you say, like it is not safe, you know?
Yeah, it's between like four corners, whereas the clandestine thing is a literal free for all. Oh, sorry, not the clandestine, the clusterfuck. Sorry, free for all.
It was an interesting match for sure.
Oh, do you remember what place you went out? Were you more at the beginning?
No, I was about halfway through. I went out after Sydney did one of his crazy dives, and then I you came out pretty quickly after I eliminated Sydney. I think you might have been like second last or something, right? Yeah,
I think so, yeah, because I had a little thing with like Ava, like Ava Lawless or whatever, and which is what we wanted to do. I was like, I want to do something with her for sure, because she was just like just fresh, like,
yeah, she's killing it now.
Super fresh,
she just had some,
yeah, so like she already had that attitude built in, and oh yeah, like she had the attitude and the work ethic like built in already, and I was like, God, I want to, who knows if I'll get to wrestle her, but I was like, I want to do something. I'm going to take my opportunity to have something. And so I just told her to like, slap my face off, like slap me so hard. Like, I do not care. Like, just slap me. And
yeah,
like, do something, you know? And I think she gave me something else after that too. Maybe like a widow's peak or something, but yeah, no, it was like, it was fabulous, but there was just so many, the whole match lived up to its name. Clusterfuck.
Yes.
Literally, it changed five times since the actual match started. People getting eliminated early, people getting hurt. Like, it was not the way it was supposed to be, but you know what? The right person won. Which was you. You won.
It was fun. It was a good time, and it's definitely like a very, very like fond memory for me too.
Yeah,
for
sure. The person who deserved to win won it, and that's all that matters.
I appreciated just being there and being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember you super kicked me. I remember that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was the most super kicks I've ever done in my life. Wasn't that? Just that little span there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the only like interaction me and you had, but it was cool to just be out there with everybody and do that. And like you say, it's amazing that the whole thing didn't just break down, and because like the way it was all structured and stuff was with like people were coming out after particular like spots and things, right? So like if somebody had gotten hurt and their spot was cut, and then, you know, it was like, oh, well, homeboy is supposed to come out after, you know, so-and-so does a powerbomb on so-and-so. Well, if so-and-so had been eliminated earlier and there was no powerbomb to be done, then when does the other guy end up coming out, right? Like,
exactly. Like, thank God, like, my little cue still worked, but after I came out, I know, like, a lot of, because of injuries and stuff, a lot of things had to change. And yeah. I mean, I left the match with the biggest goose egg on my face, but you know what?
That
it was
not
worth
my
it.
Fault. I did not.
It was not. Yeah. It was not you. It was not you. I was waiting for you to say something. Like, it was not you.
Tex Gaines had a goose egg on his face, and that was my fault.
He was so funny in that match. Oh, I loved him. Just sitting there with his little stick, like a little kendo stick or whatever. Like, just, oh, man.
It's good times. So are you still based here in Edmonton, Kayla? Have you been contacted about wrestling at all here now that the world's kind of getting opened up?
A little. I know some people have kind of asked, like, what's going on. And I know, like, Force hasn't really come back yet. So we'll see. And I mean, I'm sure I could, reach out a little, but, I'm actually moving. So I will not be living here anymore.
Okay.
So there will be matches elsewhere. I will be moving to Ontario.
Okay. Yeah. There's probably,
yeah. So a lot of people know, but this is officially, pardon me.
I said, there's probably a lot of opportunities out there in Ontario. For
there
sure.
is, yeah. I've been in contact with some people out there, and I'll be coming back to Alberta soon. I'm sure they'll be announcing something about that soon. So I'll be coming back for, like, a show in the fall time there. But, yeah, I'll be living out there for a bit for school and hopefully wrestling a little bit and working out. And that's the one thing I stayed pretty good with over COVID was still working out, and I was proud about that because I know a lot of people got that, like, COVID 20 or whatever people are saying, like, getting out of shape a little, but
yeah,
I needed to stay sane somehow and work out. So,
well, I've been losing a lot of weight lately. I'm trying.
And man, you've been working hard though. So,
Is there any chance that when you come back out here to Alberta, you're going to wrestle for RCW again?
I mean, I might reach out to Squid. I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows if they have somebody out here? I know they have tons of girls kind of coming in and out right now.
Yeah, they've even.
And I know he's kind of kept the door open for me.
Yeah, they've got some sort of a thing going on right now because, like, even Zoe and Taryn and Ava Lawless have all been wrestling in Calgary for us for the last few weeks. So, I think that some of those, you know, forbidden doors have at least been sort of cracked open a little bit. Around here, which
here's
is
the
very hoping. Interesting. It's interesting. That's all I'll say about it. It's interesting, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Here's to hoping. And I mean, that was always the hardest thing was not being able to easily decide to go, and you couldn't take a match because you're with this company, or, you know, if you leave this company, you might never be able to come back, kind of a thing, right? So that was always, like, people were always worried, especially for women. Like, it's hard because there's more now than there ever was in Alberta here.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started, like, all the women were in MPW.
Yeah. Yeah. There's often, so, like, I've often thought that it might be just in the best interest to have, like, one Alberta women's championship and then just have, like, a free flowing, like, roster of women that just work for every promotion, you know? But it's one of those things where, like, who controls the fate of the, like, women's champ, right? Like, you know,
exactly. Like, it gets a little sticky at some points, right?
Yeah. Can Massive and Squig and Kurt and Otto or whoever else, can they agree on who they want to be their women's champion and when they want the belt changes to go? Probably not.
definitely not. That is for sure. 100% not. That's the hardest part, right?
Like, yeah. We are approaching the end of the time here, so let's get out your social media plugs if anyone would like to get in contact with you to maybe set up an interview or to set up a booking to maybe so that you can come and wrestle. Where can they get a hold of you? Or where can people, even just if they are fans and they want to follow you?
Yeah, just follow me at Kayla J on Twitter, Instagram. I don't really do the Facebook too much, but the Twitter and Instagram is where it's at. Mostly Twitter. But yeah, no, I'll be coming back to Alberta a lot. Like, my family's still here, but my partner's out in Ontario, like, and we're doing, you know, grad school and stuff out there. So who knows? I might be your doctor one day.
Oh, really?
I mean, I'm just kidding. Hopefully not. I'm not that kind of doctor, but.
I mean, I would not be opposed to knowing somebody that, like, when I get hurt, I can just be like, hey, will you come take a look at me? Like,
I mean, the kind of doctor I'm hoping to be is maybe not the kind of doctor you hope you can see. I'll be doing psychiatry. Oh. So okay. You might not want to come see me, but
yeah,
who knows, right?
I hear you.
Yeah, you might not want to come visit me, but yeah, no, I'll be coming out here a lot. So if people want to inquire, but I'll try and kind of, when I come out here, I'm going to want to wrestle as much as I can. So especially I need that match with Taryn from accounting that we've been begging for forever. And then COVID came and damn it, you know,
I would love to see that. I think that would be fantastic.
Oh, I know. But yeah, when I come back, I'm hoping there's some shows running that little time there in October. And then, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some things announced about it. But if I can go back and
there's no more restrictions or closures and we'll just have shows every week from now until the end of time.
Well, frig, with all these variants and stuff, that really worries me. But yeah. I hope it doesn't get too bad out here for sure, because I know a lot of people just getting a little too excited and maybe opened up a little too soon, but I think it'll be okay. Hopefully, knock on wood. Stay positive about it, and maybe, you know, especially when I go out there, I'm going to want to do a lot of things, and if I'm going to be stuck in my new place, I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, so. 100%. Well, hopefully it will be safe. We don't want it to be, you know, nobody wants to be putting themselves in a compromised position. It is something
to take
seriously. Like,
yeah.
Poor Marky, he was putting an
induced coma. I know, hey.
Like, died and stuff. So, like, let's just be safe. That's the number one.
Exactly. Be safe. And those are my... stay home if you don't feel well. That's the biggest thing.
Very, very often before I go out the curtain, you know, I always say to the people that I'm going to be involved with, have fun, be safe.
You know? Oh, exactly. So. Yeah. But no, when I come back here, maybe, who knows? I might get to be in a tag match or something with the Canadian Goose.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Pitch that out there.
I still want to wrestle Jack Pride, too. Me and TFA versus you and Jack Pride would be fantastic.
Hell yes. I am all for that. Him and I've been telling him. I said, I still want another tag match. I do not care.
Yeah.
Like, let's do it. He's doing his thing out there, and he's happy again.
I actually haven't seen Jack Pride in a long time. I miss him because he's one of my, like, favorite people to train with and stuff.
He's good people, and like, he moved back home and stuff, and he's doing his thing, you know, working hard and got a new job and being an adult, you know, so.
Awesome possum. Well, this has been Monday Night Shaw. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, Kayla, Envy, KJ Cash. If you have any other ring name, Vivacious.
God, that one can die just as hard as KJ Cash.
Well,
I mean, Envy and Kayla J are what my dad say for matches, so those two names can stay. The other two can hit the road.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you so much for coming here and gracing Backbreaker Media Network with your presence once again. It was nice talking to you, nice catching up with you.
And of course, like I say, yeah.
Hopefully, we do get to do some. Wrestling in the future, because
I always like to wrestle with
people that are cool, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, if I come back, the next time I'm coming back home is October, so that'll be the time to do it. I will pitch it now. Maybe I'll get on the texting machine and be like, hey, listen, Pride, here we go, we're pitching a tag match.
yeah
it's happening.
It'll be fun.
But yeah, it's, and this is my official challenge once again to TFA. Who knows, She might be like a champion still.
Solid. You know? Okay.
Yeah.
You heard it here, Taryn. You're getting called out by Envy, Kayla, KJ Cash.
Exactly. I'll be back in October.
Taryn from Accounting versus KJ Cash. That's
the dead one.
Well, there's like, I don't know. I mean, can she account for the cash? I don't know. That there's some sort of a connection.
She probably can. Yep.
All right. Okay. I'm going to just stop making like corny, weird references, and I'm going to say thank you once more, and we are going to be
Thank you, Kyle. It's great.
Yeah. No problem.
It's great to always talk to you, and you're just such a good person, and you work so damn hard. So it's about time. I hope you become champ soon. Like, come on.
Well, hopefully me and Dead Zone will get another shot at the tag championships there.
Yeah, you should.
I agree.
I saw that video online from the weekend there. You guys deserve that.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't go around doing that sort of stuff to us. Anyway, I'm going to cut this off because it's getting very long winded now and whatnot.